you need to know your enemy. He hates you. He hates you. He has no mercy. He has no goodness. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of Christ Jesus. He is the enemy of the Holy Spirit. He is your enemy. He's the enemy of everything that is good. He is the enemy of all truth.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We hope you're having a great Monday, and we're so happy to have you listening with us as we study God's Word today. Now, Pastor Bill's study from Ephesians is winding down, but there are some important messages to come from this series. We encourage you to join us every day and finish this wonderful study from God's Word with us. Now, let's get right into the Word and join Pastor with today's message, Know Your Enemy.
Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. We have 24 verses that we're going to finish up, not today, of course. We're going to cover only one verse. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, as we start now talking about warfare. This morning, it is critical, it is paramount that you learn and make sure that you know your enemy. And the enemy, our enemy, is the wicked one. Amen? So we have learned how to walk worthy of our calling that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've talked about marriage and children and the employee relationship, employer rather. And now we're going to talk about war. And listen to me carefully. Beginning in verse 10, if he doesn't walk worthy, meaning to hear the Word of God and to do the Word of God, to know doctrine and apply doctrine. That is a balanced walk. If you do not do that, loved one, listen, here's what you need to prepare for. You need to be prepared to have a defeated walk in your life. We are in a real war. Amen? And we need to understand this war. And you know, only the Bible, praise the Lord, only the Bible tells whoever dares or cares rather to read it, or it certainly tells the believer, you know, that we have an enemy. It tells us that we are in a war. It tells us who we are in a war with. And it tells us also how to win this war that we're in till the very last day of our lives. Only the Bible tells us how the enemy, the wicked one, tells us his tactics, his schemes, and his methods of warfare. Now, with all that being said, you must know your enemy, understand him, as best as the Bible teaches us. Did you know that Jesus spoke more about the demons than he did angels? Did you know he spoke more about hell than he did heaven? Jesus told us in Luke 14:31, he says, "Or what king," meaning our Lord, "on what king going to war against another king," and that's Satan, of course, "who does not sit down first, consider what he is able to do with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. We have to be prepared. We have to know our enemy. Only the Bible tells us the devil's beginning. It tells us the devil's fall, and it tells us his end. In the past, the Bible tells us all about the origin of the devil, and not only that, and where he came from and how he came to be, if you will. Now, you can turn with me if you want to, but I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures this morning, or you can just write them down. But you remember, who in the world created Satan? God did. You remember that? But he wasn't called Satan. Then he was called Lucifer. Now, the Bible says in Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him," meaning Jesus Christ, "all things consist in the entire universe. He holds everything together." Now listen carefully. We're going to know about this enemy because God created Satan, if you will. The devil is what we call him, but he created a Lucifer, if you will, good. Did you know that? The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:4, everything that God created was good. God doesn't create evil. Did you know that? That's right. We know something happened, though. You know, the devil was lifted up. He became the first sinner, the first murderer, and he was also the first liar. And then he led a multitude of angels with him in this rebellion against God. It says in Isaiah 14:12, listen carefully, talking about Lucifer in heaven. It says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning," or the word literally means day star or morning star. And it says, "How you are cast down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." Now, sin began in heaven by the wicked one. Listen carefully. "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And then verse 15, God says this to him. He says, "Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit." That's called the five I wills, if you will, of Lucifer. And you know what he wants? He wants it even today. He wanted the throne of God. He wanted everything that belonged unto God. And you know, again, he wants the entire rulership of the entire world, the universe, and everyone who lives in it. And his desire today, right this minute, has never changed since he fell from heaven. Has never changed. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that there is someone coming? A man that is coming? He is called the man of sin, a person whose life is totally dominated by sin. And you know what's amazing? It's how easy this world can follow only one man. Does that ever blow you away? I mean, just one man. Let's just bring it up to something we can all relate to, or maybe if you're older. And that is, I mean, look how one man named Elvis Presley changed the entire world, didn't he? It was unbelievable. Then in the early 60s, guess another group came. They were called the Beatles. They changed everything. But just one man. And then just think, we can bring it up even closer to George Floyd, the poor man that was killed. Listen, and look what's still going on right now. All around the world, we live in the most confusing times, I believe, that we have ever seen. Now, with all of that being said, Satan still wants to rule. He still wants God's place. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:4 that this man of sin, he is coming, and it says, "He who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worshiped." He is going to demand the worship of every person upon this planet. It says, "So that he sits as God," he enthrones himself as God, and listen to where it's at, "in the temple of God." That word there is the naos of God, meaning the holy of holies of God, talking about the temple in Jerusalem, which means the temple has to be rebuilt. Amen? And he says he is going to show himself that he is God, but he's not God. He is a created being. Isaiah describes his fall. Ezekiel gives us his origin and also the origin of evil. Now, in Ezekiel 28, it's very important. Ezekiel 28 is a dual prophecy. It's talking about the king of Tyre, but it's also talking about the wicked one, the devil. And so you can read that, and there's a lot of scholars, and I love them and respect them. They go, "There's no way that this has anything to do with the devil who fell from heaven," and so forth. Well, I disagree with that. It says here in this description, there's no way it can be a human king, okay? It says, "Moreover," in Ezekiel 28:11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre," or Tyre, "and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, you were the seal of perfection," meaning you were a perfectly created being. And you were not only that, you were full of wisdom and you were perfect in beauty. So again, the Bible teaches us that Satan is created and he was created perfect. He was the highest angel, if you will, in heaven. He was probably the one before the throne room of God. And not only that, he had moral choice. He could choose. He was free to choose, just like we're free to choose. Now, it says in verse 13 of Ezekiel 28, It says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, it would be impossible for the king of Tyre to have been there. Amen? Okay. It says, every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald with gold. The workmanship of your trembles and pipes were prepared or was prepared for you on the day you were created. Matter of fact, if we went over back into Isaiah, we would find out that he was incredibly gifted to sing there in heaven. And not only that, it says that he could play all types of stringed instruments. It's interesting who controls the music today, amen? Now, so every precious stone was Lucifer's covering. 9 gemstones, 9 course is a divine completion. It says now in verse 14 of Ezekiel, chapter 28, this is the most graphic picture of Satan in the whole Bible, by the way. It says this about him, you were the anointed cherub, meaning he was the cherub, the top cherub, if you will. And it says, who covers, obviously, remember the cherubim had the wings, you know, that covered the Holy of Holies. Whether that is what this scripture is indicating, we don't know, but it's possibly. It says, I established you, and you were on the holy mountain of God, meaning in heaven. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. No human king has ever done that. Amen? Now, this seems to be before the throne of God. Do you remember when Nadab and Abihu and I think Moses and Aaron, whenever God called them up to the mount? And it says in Exodus 24:10, and as they saw the God of Israel, there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in clarity, or the very substance of heaven. This is the throne room of God, and perhaps that is where Satan would lead the worship of the angels before God. We're not absolutely positive on that. But it says in verse 15, it says, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. That's never been said of a person on earth, amen, except Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, you were perfect from the day you were created until something happened, until iniquity was found in you. There's the beginning of sin. The very first sin was committed in heaven, loved one. And here it comes, by the abundance of your trading, or the King James says merchandise, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. Now that's when the battle of heaven took place, if you will, and you sinned. Therefore, God says in his word, therefore I cast you out as a profane thing, out of the mountain of God, out of heaven. He says, I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Again, probably the throne room of God, the very presence of God. So that word trading means literally to go about one to another. And that's what Satan did. He lured a third of the angels, evidently in heaven, away from God. And they were cast out with him. So Revelation 12:4 says, and he drew his tail and a third of the stars of heaven, and he threw them to the earth. Speaking of the wicked fallen angels. Verse 17, Ezekiel 28 says, and your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You guys still with me? I'm teaching this morning. This is, you need to know these things. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. And you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Again, there he's going back and forth, luring the angels of heaven. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. And all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you, and you have become a horror, and it shall be no more forever. That was his past. We all know his future. It's hell, amen? Yes, and all those wicked demons. Did you ever think about this, what Jesus said in Matthew 25:41? that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Think about that. So the seal of perfection, he was perfect in beauty, but that wasn't enough for Lucifer. He wanted God's place. He wanted to rule the universe, and he wants to rule every heart. You need to know your enemy. That was his past, and now we know what he is. He's a spirit. He's a created being by God. And now we also need to know something else about our enemy, and that's what he isn't. Number one, he is not omnipotent, okay? He is not all-powerful. He's not God's equal in any way. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He doesn't read your mind. He doesn't know what's going on. And not only that, he's not omnipresent, meaning he's not present everywhere. He is no equal to God. He is a fallen angel. Amen? Very important that we understand that. Now, we also need to know about our enemy that we live in his territory. Therefore, since we are in his territory, he is the God of this age, with a little g, if you will, we need to put on the whole armor of God to keep ourselves safe. Now, the Bible tells us about his territory. It says in 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God doesn't sin, meaning doesn't practice a lifestyle of sin. It says, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches us not. We know that we are of God, and here it is, and the whole world lies, the whole fallen world, those that don't belong to Christ, the whole world lies in the sway of, the Revised Version says, lies unconscious in the very arms of the wicked one. You need to know your enemy. He hates you. He hates you. He has no mercy. He has no goodness. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of Christ Jesus. He is the enemy of the Holy Spirit. He is your enemy. He's the enemy of everything that is good. He is the enemy of all truth, for he is a liar, and there's no truth in him. Amen? So we need to know those things. And you must know the truth. And when you read in your Bible, listen carefully, I believe you should, I do. Whenever I read my Bible, I believe you should read the truth about him, and you read it this way. For example, he is the defeated one. He is defeated. He is the defeated Lucifer, or Satan, or devil, or slanderer. He's the one who comes to oppress, remember? That's what he does. Oh, what a horrible, horrible, wicked entity is. He is the defeated prince of this world. So when you read that in your Bible, read it that way. He's the defeated prince of this world. He's the defeated god of this world. Let me read them all to you. He's the defeated evil one, or defeated wicked one. He is a defeated prince of the power of the air, meaning the heavenlies. He is that spirit that works in the sons of disobedience, but he's still defeated. He can't work in a believer like that. Amen? No, he can oppress us. He can tempt us, but he cannot touch us. We can never be possessed, in other words, by him. Oh, darkness can never be in the believer ever again. Do you understand? Because we were once darkness. Now we are light. Walk as children of the light. Amen? Oh, that's important. He's the accuser of the brethren, but he's the defeated accuser of the brethren. Beelzebub, the prince of devils. He loves to take people captive to do his will, it says in 2 Timothy 2:26. Not only that, he appears as an angel of light. He's a lover of open doors. Remember what the Bible says? Give no opportunity to the wicked one, the devil. Don't open a door for him. And not only that, the Bible teaches us that he is defeated and how he's defeated. And that is 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, came to this planet, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. Amen? See, Satan is defeated. He is not God. He is not anything like God. Do you understand? Oh, it's so vice. Bill, this is elementary teaching. Well, there's a lot of people that need elementary teaching. Amen? They need to be reminded the basics all over the ABCs of God's Word. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:15, Paul says, having disarmed principalities and powers, in other words, stripping all the fallen angels and the devil, he says he made a public spectacle of them, like a parade, if you will, a parade in the universe. I love that. He says, triumphing over them in it, meaning the cross. Listen, The battle has been won. Jesus has won the battle for you. Amen? Don't ever, ever forget that. We know that the devil exists. We know that his demons exist. But listen to me, they are fallen and they exist defeated. Don't ever forget that. They exist defeated. You've heard me say it a million times in this church. Listen, the Christian fights from the point of victory. The devil always fights from the point of defeat. We have overcome the world because we're in him who has overcome the world. Amen? And not only that, we must know and believe that the defeated one is not only defeated, but you're not defeated and can't be defeated by him. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:14, it says, fathers, it says, you are strong. You are strong. Present tense, right this minute. Why were they strong? Because you have the word of God abiding in you, living in you. You know God's word. And it says, and you have overcome the wicked one. We have overcome him, loved one. Listen, it is so important to know that we, the church, the Christian, we're the only people, the only family on this planet that has overcome the prince of this world. Jesus told the disciples and us as well in Luke 10:19, I believe it was. And he said, when they were rejoicing, remember that they were casting out demons. Says, oh, they even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, yes, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. And he says, and you have all authority, all power over the enemy, meaning the wicked one, and nothing shall hurt you. You have that as well. And it's so important that we understand that. See, the strength, the secret of our strength. You know, you hear people binding devils and binding this and shouting and cursing and everything. You know, listen, I mean, if people do that, listen. No, we don't need to shout at the devil, but I tell you what we need to do. We need the only weapon that will keep him defeated. And that, loved one, is the armor of God. We're strong. Why? We have the word of God living in us. But we also are strong, and we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 10 is paramount. That is our starting point right there. If you don't walk worthy of verse 10, again, you better prepare for a defeated walk. It says, and look at it with me, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? In whom? In the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Let me ask you a question. Is God's power infinite? Think about it. Let there be light, and light was. The stars appeared. I mean, is that power? He says, finally, my brethren, the church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word power is only used in the New Testament of supernatural power, speaking of God's power. Or it could be satanic power as well. And that word might there, strengths, speaks of the strength that you possess, whether you use it or not. You have everything you need. So finally, brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's exactly where you begin. You cannot find any other power to help you in warfare except right there. And you must believe and you must know in your heart that you possess what God says he has given unto you. The greatest power in all of the universe. See, the devil, man, he delights in believers, especially believers who don't know God's word. Amen? He delights in that. He delights to find or believers that come against him and they don't know God's word. Man, and they try to defeat him or come against him, resist him in their own human wisdom or in their own human strength. You cannot defeat him in your own human wisdom or your own human strength. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, meaning we're in a war, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not of the flesh. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? We have all the power that we need.
We'll be back tomorrow with the conclusion to Know Your Enemy, so please don't miss the broadcast. Thank you for the privilege of your time today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.